Bless your name. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. 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 I do apologize for any technical difficulties that we may have had, but God be glory and God be praised in the name of Jesus. We give you honor. So I just want to make sure that you guys can hear me on this cast. I know that it may not be polished, it may not be perfect, but praise God. I'm not worried about it being polished and perfect. I'm just worried about the word of God going forth. So if you can do me a favor, if you are on here, I know that I had to refresh a few things and I may have lost some of you. But if you're coming back on here, if you can give me a thumbs up, give me a heart, give me whatever you can so we can make sure that we are being heard on this podcast. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed name. Bless your name, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you again. Praise God. Come on back on in. Come on back on in. If you can hear, please put a thumbs up or a heart or whatever you can so we can make sure that we are getting a clear response. Amen. 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 All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I am so grateful and so glad that you are here today. You could have been anywhere else doing anything, but praise the Lord, you are here, right here, right here in our church broadcast. And I am so excited about today's message. I believe that it's going to be something that's going to bless your soul. Yes, 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 yes. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We shall lift up a banner. We shall lift up a praise. And I hope that you are in your right mind. I hope that God has found you in a place where you're enjoying the blessings of God. And if you are not enjoying the blessings of God, I pray that God shifts your heart, shifts your mind, and you'll begin to see and be grateful for all the things that he's doing right now. Yes, he's doing a great work in our lives. He's doing a great work in our hearts. He's doing a great work in the lives of all those that we are connected to. He's doing a great work in our ministry, and I believe that he's going to do a great work in your life as well. Just look for the blessing. The blessing is right around the corner. It's right there. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get lost in the shuffle. Don't get your heart bitter, but keep your heart in the right perspective and the right posture. And I guarantee you that God is up to something. God is in the midst of all of what is going on, and he has allowed us this opportunity to come together again to give him praise, to give him glory, and to worship his holy name. So I'm so grateful that we are here today. I'm so grateful that we're on this podcast. We are in the process of just so a quick announcement for those of you that are not aware. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we're in the process of getting ready to start having fellowship services once again as of March 7th. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come on and hit us up on our website. You'll see some information on there that we're going to get updated on there very soon. But you're going to be able to fellowship again, once again. Yes, of course, using the proper codes and the proper restrictions or whatever we needed to do to make sure that everyone is safe and everyone is protected. We're going to follow suit. But we are going to be fellowshipping once again in the house of the Lord. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful. But if you do not know right now, many of you know that today, not only is it Sunday, but today also is a great day in itself. Yes, I know you can hear it. I know you hear it. Get ready, get ready. Yes, it is Super Bowl Sunday. Praise God. Yes, it is. It is the day that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, my hometown team, my hometown fam, is in the Super Bowl, and all of Tampa is lit up. I guarantee you there's so much stuff happening right now. There's so many things that's going on right now. It the city is just crazy, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's an awesome thing. But you know what? I hope that even in the midst of all of that, in the midst of everything that is going on, I do hope and pray that we use this opportunity, that many of us use this opportunity to still give glory and honor to God. And I had this little thought that God put in my heart to do. And we're going to go ahead and get into our sermon. I'm really excited about what we're going to do. And you know, it's a few things in this whole process of the Super Bowl that kind of had me thinking about a lot of different things. And I began to think, and my heart began to, you know, to kind of just kind of lead towards different scriptures that he was giving me. And I want, if you can, let's go ahead and get into this word. And if you guys missed the prayer, I want to pray real quick, just a quick short prayer, because I do want people to really receive this word. And I really want us to really get this. Grace Heavenly Father, I pray that this word right now meditates and marinates into their hearts and their minds. I pray that it penetrates. And Father, that it begins to speak to them, that it begins to give them encouragement, give them a sound mind, give them a will, give them a power, give them direction, Father, for where they need to be. God, I come against the spirit of depression. I come against the spirit of darkness. I come against the spirit of sadness right now that the enemy has tried to put over your people. Father, we lift up that dark cloud with your word, with praise and with worship. I thank you, Father, right now that God, your people are shifting into a new realm, shifting into a new era. They are shifting into a new understanding and being able to have this confidence inside of them by their faith that everything is going to work out the way that your word has intended it. I believe that with every fiber of my being, that God's word is going to surely come to pass, not only in my life, but in your life. And I'm so excited about that today. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the word of God. If you have your Bibles, iPads, iPhones, Android phones, whatever you have, let's go ahead and turn, if you can, with me. We're going to kind of hop into two scriptures, and we're going to look at a few things. The first scripture that we're going to look at is going to be Joshua, the 24th chapter, the 14th through the 17th verse. And then we're going to probably tie it up with Revelations 3, 14 and 18. Again, that's Joshua, the 24th chapter, 14th through the 17th verse, and Revelations 3, 14 and 18. And I believe that God's going to allow us to kind of, you know, navigate through some different concepts and topics. Amen. I'll give you a minute to get that while you're there. Praise God. Praise God. And I can't wait to get back into the service where I can say, hey, you got it? Amen. Say amen if you got it. Amen. All right. And I can see you turning your pages or flipping on your phones. But nevertheless, we're going to go forth with what we have now. So Joshua, the 24th chapter, the 14th and the 17th verse, it says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, I'm going to say that again, and for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we pass. I'm going to hop over to Revelations, the third chapter, starting at the 14th through the 18th verse, reading the King James Version, and you just kind of follow along with me. And Revelations reads, and it says, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I wanted to talk to you today about this topic that I have. Who are you rocking with? Yes, who are you rocking with? Now, that is basically a title that is maybe slang for many people, and is usually what we will say, you know, out there in the world, or in our, you know, talking to our individuals, or, you know, coming from our old, you know, just slang talk. Who you rocking with? Meaning, who are you with? Like Bernie Mac would say, who you with? But in reality, if you were to look at it in the instance of the church, I'm reminded of an old song that we used to sing a long time ago, basically that said that whose side are you leaning on? You know, I remember in the kids choir, we used to sing the song, whose side are you leaning on? I'm leaning on the Lord's side. And I believe that with everything that is going on in our lives and has been going on in our lives, that we have to make sure that we know what side we are leaning on. Now, this whole sermon, this whole idea, this whole concept has been something that has kind of been birthed out from different things that I've saw over the whole, you know, recent course of time. So I'm born and raised, and I live in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, the greatest city that I believe that there could ever be. And the reason why I say that is because of the fact that, you know, it's a city that is not cold. It doesn't get hot. Yeah, we have our little moments here and there where we chill, you know, it gets chilly or whatever the case may be. But pretty much in all, I'm grateful that God has put us in a city that is actually a beautiful city. There's a lot of things to do here. There's a lot of things to, you know, to get involved with. And I'm going somewhere with this. And just recently, we have been able to get ourselves in a position, I will say Tampa Bay, and when we look at the academics or the athletic side of Tampa Bay, the sports side of Tampa Bay, we are now in a position where we are now in the Super Bowl. Our team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are in the Super Bowl. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the thing about it is that I wanted to kind of look at a few things. I want to kind of bring a few attention to a few things. We have been proficient and been strong in our most of our athletic teams. So say, for example, we have a ice hockey team down here in Florida, which is crazy because, you know, there's no snow. So we have an ice hockey team, which is the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they just recently won the championship. We have a baseball team called the Tampa Bay Rays, and I believe that they just won another championship, the divisional championship. And then we have our Tampa Bay Buccaneers that have just recently have gotten to the place where they're in the Super Bowl right now. And it has been a huge excitement because of the fact that many times Bucks have been trying to get to the Super Bowl. So the management made certain, you know, arrangements to get the number one quarterback, I guess, in the nation so far, Tom Brady, and invite him down to Tampa Bay and pay him pretty much a pretty good salary to assure that we get into the Super Bowl. And it's crazy because once we started seeing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers kind of go through their whole process this year of their season, you know, and you have to understand that our team usually would usually be a team where you'll start seeing them start off good and then they end up bad. It'll be up and down all the time, up and down, up and down. And in some years, the last few years, it's been where they've kind of started doing pretty good, but never get to the championships and never get to the Super Bowl. And some years we would get it, depending on who we had on the team. But I'm not getting into a lot of the stats and things like that for football. Not really getting into that, but just want to kind of bring to you a point. So many people, as I've been watching on Facebook, when this whole process has taken place with the Bucks, won the divisional championship and now have been, you know, are able to go to the Super Bowl, you find this great, huge flood of people that are now Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans. And the crazy thing about it is that those that were diehard fans, I would say, I mean, fans that are like, you know, had always been fans of the Bucks or always been fans of the team. And I promise you, this is going to be a sermon. I'm promising. You find that people, they're getting on the people that kind of jumped on the bandwagon. You haven't been following it. You haven't been, you know, haven't been buying the the Bucks gear. It's like when they lose, you just say, oh, them sorry Bucks, you talk about them. And when they win, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm with the Bucks. So it's been like jumping on the bandwagon type of thing. And what you'll find is that many people now are, you know, re-inspired, I would say, re-inspired Buccaneer fans because of the fact of what they have achieved and what they have done right now. And they have been ridiculed or criticized because of being, you know, ones that would jump on the bandwagon. In other words, when the wagon is going good, the wagon is steady and it's going to a good direction, then you jump on it because it's going the right way than into. You didn't go through the times when, you know, it was up and down here and there and things were, you know, were sad. And when we were losing, you wasn't a fan then, but you're a fan now. And here's the thing that really kind of pressed in my heart is when we look outside of football, we look outside of sports, and we look outside of different teams. And it's fine to have a certain favorite team, you know, that you like, that you, you know, that you are a diehard fan to. Like, say, for example, my brother, he's a diehard Cowboys fan. So if the Cowboys win, he is celebrating. If they lose, he is still celebrating because he is a diehard Cowboy fan. Don't know why he's a diehard Cowboy fan, but nevertheless he is. Me myself, I will be honest, I'm a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. However, it wasn't that I was like, you know, constantly watching their games. I would try to keep up with the stats, keep up with the scores. I would kind of be interested in some of the games that they had when they lost. I would like, okay, cool, you know, see where we are. You know, so I was into it a little bit here and there. I did have a little bit of Bucs memorabilia, but I respect and honor the team. But to get my skin tattooed with the Buck flag or to do all the other things that I see a lot of diehard fans do, nah, you ain't going to find me doing that. But nevertheless, that is my team. I do respect the team out of anything else because, number one, just really because I was born and raised in Tampa. I've seen the old Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My uncles and my aunts used to take us to the, not necessarily to the games, but we used to do the little tailgate parties. My uncle, a long time ago, my aunt had a boat a long time ago called the Baby Buck that was in the old orange and the orange thing. So I have a little bit of a history and memories with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But here's the point that I want to make. Here's the point. Is that going back to the part of the bandwagon, many times what we'll find is that when things are going the right way, when things are going good, when things are on the right track, when they're destined to go to a particular, a certain endeavor, then everybody jumps on. Everybody's a part of it. Everybody is, you know, is kind of all team that person. And what we may find, let's look at yourself and just, I'm just kind of going this aspect. When you look at yourself, when everything in your life is going great, when everything is going good, you got money in your pocket, you know, you may have got a promotion on your job, you know, things are going good in your life, things are going good in your family, you know, when people see that you are being prosperous in whatever endeavor that you are having, then you'll find that you have a multitude of friends that want to gravitate to you. You have a multitude of people that always want to be in your corner. You have a multitude of people that'll be, you know, kind of, you know, want to be in your inner circle because they want to glean, they want to reap the benefits of the blessings that you have endured. They want to reap those things and be a part of this great thing that you are a part of. But here's the thing, because when the times when things get rough and things get weary, when you find that, you know, the money that you had, you don't have that money anymore. The influence that you have, you don't have that influence anymore. Or the status that you had, you don't have that status anymore. And it seems that your friends that were a great number at one time now starts to dwindle down to a few here and there. Those people that would always be blowing up your phone. Hey, man, what you doing? What you up to? Hey, man, where you at? What's up? What's going on? All these different things. Hey, girl, where you at? What you going to do? All these different things. They will blow up your phone. They will hit you on Instagram, hit you on Facebook, hit you on all those different social medias. They will constantly be just constantly trying to get to see what you're doing, what you up to, because they want to make sure that they are on the bandwagon or want to be a part of whatever great thing that you're a part of. They didn't want to work for it. They just want to kind of glean from what you were doing. And you may have had a given heart where you may have, you know, took them to dinner. You may have paid for a few things, may have did all these different things. You did it out of nature of your heart. You weren't trying to win them as a friend. You just did it because of that. But because of the fact they saw that you were prosperous, because of the fact they saw that you were moving towards something that was better than what they've ever experienced, that was better than what they were. They didn't want to put the work, didn't want to put the effort in. They just really kind of wanted to get a piece of something. Then they begin to gravitate to you. But when things get rough, then they can nowhere be found. You can't, you try to call them, say, hey, even though I might have lent you. And I was talking to a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, who was talking about it, how he had family members that he would always just look out for them no matter what it would be, when things were going good. Would give him $1,000 here, $1,000 over there. But when he needed them for a particular incident, all he needed was $100, no one could be found. And it's funny that when life brings you into certain vicissitudes of life, when you're reeling and going up and down in different situations and different circumstances, even in yourself, you go through so many different emotions. You vacillate through so many ideas. You vacillate through so many different things. You may have beaten yourself up in one season and been depressed or been downtrodden or felt discouraged, or you may have felt that you wasn't worthy, or you may have felt that you could never get to the place that you wanted to get to, whatever it was. And then you have that upswing season where everything is going great and everything is going good, and you start to see the power and the hand of God truly work in your life. And those are the good seasons. In other words, you have your down moments, which are the valley, and you have your high pinnacle moments, which are on the mountain. So when you have those moments, it can sway your emotions, and you'll find that people will be with you in the times when you're being celebrated, but they'll not be with you in the times when you have been cast down or have been destroyed or have not even talked about or even looked at. And it's interesting that in those times, in those situations, in those circumstances, is that we find ourselves wavering in faith sometimes, and what we'll find people overall wavering in their faith. We have been hit with something in our nation that was truly could have truly did one or two things. When COVID-19 hit and all these other different devastations in our world have hit us, two things would have occurred. Either that devastation or that circumstance is going to verify or validate or strengthen your faith, or it's going to cause you to walk away from your faith. It's going to cause you to do one of those two things. And in my time of kind of reflection and study, I wanted to speak to that person that is uncertain about their life, that is uncertain about their walk with God, that are uncertain about their fellowship or their relationship, that is uncertain about their lifestyle. Because here is what I see, and it breaks my heart in so many ways, is that a lot of times people take this lifestyle that we live and they are looking at it as if it's something that you can just come in and when you want to, leave out when you want to, come in when you want to and leave out what you want to. It's not like clothes that you buy in the store where this season, this particular type of outfit is in style and you wear that, and the next season it's out of style and you don't wear that no more and you look for something else. That's not what a true relationship with God is, or a true worship with God is. What a relationship is with God is when it's times when he blesses you, you still are grateful. You still are just thankful for what he does. And also in those times when you don't seem to be able to trace him, or you don't seem to be able to find him, or it seems like he's not there or he's not present, that's when you love him even the more. And many times people are not able or ready to go through that type of testing of the relationship of this lifestyle or this faith that you have. You see, many times people will say, yes, I'm in the church. I'm in the church. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I know the Lord. I know this. I was brought up in the church. And here's the crazy part about it. They'll say, well, my grandma used to always take us to church. My grandma used to always do this. And my mom used to do this. And my dad used to always pray. We used to always go to Sunday school. We used to always go to those things. And I want you to be careful for those that may be out there, because all those things are great. And then what it does, it really introduces you for you to accept Christ for yourself and to learn and to accept that lifestyle that your grandmother, that your father, that your mother may have had, and to be a part of this great fellowship of believers and saints that begin to trust and hold on to the hand of God. That is just an introduction, but don't bank that on the validity of the relationship. Don't bank what you're, what the little minor minute things that you do. Like if you go to church every Sunday, praise God, you go to church every Sunday. But if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior in your heart and have made a commitment to live your life according to the Word of God, then you're really kind of far from Him. You've just accepted the benefits, but you haven't really accepted the whole lifestyle. It's kind of like this. In my life, I'll be honest, I've met and I've been blessed to meet different people in my life. People that are influential, and people that are, you know, that have status or that are doing great things. Like, say, for example, I met the president. I met President Clinton one time. I met President Clinton when he came down to Tampa. I was able to go to a rally and see him, and I met him. I met Travis Green. Me and my wife actually met Travis Green. I've met, Monica. Matter of fact, I had a picture one time where my daughter Jada took a picture with Monica. I've met Casey and JoJo. We've met New Edition, Boys to Men, Salt and Pepper, just different people in my life that I've met. I've met Noel Jones. I met Paul and Randy White. I've met all these, you know, different people that I've, you know, had the opportunity to meet. And, you know, I met, Jennifer Hudson. I met her and her boyfriend at the time, or her husband at the time. I met her. Different ones, you know, different gospel stars. I met the Clark sisters. I met Kiki. I met different people in my life, right? And here's what I'm getting at. And it's not for me to really brag about that, because, you know, a lot of times just because I meet those people, it doesn't mean that I have a relationship with those people. So I met Travis Green. I got a picture with Travis Green. And we're like, you know, kind of like hugged up as if we've been friends for a long time, right? But just because I have met him, I don't have a relationship with him, meaning that I don't call him every day and see how he's doing, nor does he call me every day and see how we're doing. I don't ask him to, you know, hey, man, I need to borrow $1,000. Can you shoot me $1,000? I don't have a relationship with him like that. I don't have a relationship where I invite him into my home and say, hey, man, we're having this, you know, this dinner. Won't you come through? You know, whatever the case may be. I don't have the relationship to ask him, say, hey, brother, I've been working on this little, you know, I sing, right? So if you ever need somebody, if you need me to back up for you, just call at me. You know, I ain't no problem. I do it with no charge. I don't have that type of relationship with him. I know him. I met him. But I don't have the in-depth relationship with him to have conversations, to have talks, to have different things where I can truly say that I have a relationship with him. And that's many times what people in the body of Christ are doing, is that they go to church, they go to these different rallies and these different things that are Christ-centered or inspired, and they go to and get a praise break on. But when they walk out of that service, or when they walk out of that atmosphere, they're back doing the same things that they did before. And so the question that I have, which is going back to the sermon, who are you rocking with? Who is it that makes you, or that convicts you to change? Who is it, or what is it that makes you want to be better? What have you grabbed hold to? What have you grabbed and made a decision that for me and my house, I shall serve the Lord? What is it that you have done? Just like, you know, many people are getting on these different, you know, fans because we're doing good. Now you're on the bandwagon. You're jumping on the ship now. You know, and, you know, I understand that concept because of the fact, you know, we as Christians, we do the same thing as well. You know, when things get rough, then you find that we get on people to say that, OK, oh, yeah, now you need the Lord now. When you was out there doing your thing and now you need the Lord now. Oh, now because of the fact you got COVID-19. Oh, now you want to pray. Oh, now because you lost your job, or now because you've been found yourself in a place, oh, now you want to lean toward God. You should have been serving him all along. You know what? That's crazy. Yes, they may have jumped on the ship. Yes, they may have come into the knowledge of him at that time of need. But who are we to judge that person at that time? just because they came on. Yes, they should. And the crazy thing about it is, and if we as Christians, we put ourselves in a proper alignment, we have to check ourselves as too as well, because if we're judging other people, I don't know, God, I don't know why I'm going to this area. If we're judging other people because they've jumped into this thing that we call holiness, this thing that we call this lifestyle, and we're judging them and we're criticizing them because they should have did a long time ago, like, oh, now because your whole life has messed up, you want to turn to God. Yes, they should be turning to God. Yes, they should be calling upon his name. Yes, they should find out and know and find out that, okay, I realize that after everything, this COVID-19 situation is bigger than what I thought. I need God. We should be celebrating that. We should be doing everything in our power. And I may not get a lot of amen on this. I may not get a lot of likes on this, but we should be doing everything in our power that when we as Christians, if we're supposed to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, we should be encouraging them to know and to see who Christ really is. We should never be on the other side of this. We should never be on the other side trying to be a filter for those that want to come into the body of Christ. We should never do that. And I believe that many times people are setting themselves up to be a stumbling block because of the fact that when people want to see what the true church is about, to really see what the true, what it is, this very faith that we're talking in, because of our hearts, because of our attitudes, because of our spirit, people won't even go into the church. And so this question of who are you rocking with, it goes far beyond just speaking to the person that don't know Christ and that are out there in the world, but it also speaks to the church. Are you truly serving God for real? Are you truly living a lifestyle that's going to be pleasing him? Is your heart right? Is your soul right? Is your spirit right? I challenge you to look at that very thing, because in Joshua, when he begins to tell the people of Israel, the children of Israel, he tells them at this time, we have been around this circle so many times. Many people have died off. Our forefathers have died off. And now we're in the process where we're going into the promised land. But it took us to go through different trials and tribulations. And when every time that we've gone through those trials and tribulations, it's because we did not truly and fully lean our hearts into God. And so now, right before God is about to open up the biggest door in our lives, Joshua challenged them and he says, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. He tells them, now therefore fear the Lord. I'm talking to the 14th verse. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. I'm going to talk to somebody about that very thing. I don't care how long or how old or how historic you are. I don't care how Afrocentric you are. But you cannot serve the Lord and worship, pray, and believe by faith and say that he is the true and the living God. He is the Almighty, and say all these different things. But then on the next day, you're burning sage, you're looking at the signs, you're talking about the God of our ancestors, you're talking about these older and antiquated gods that, you know, that has no relevance to the Christian or the thing that you believed on. It has no relevance to your faith. So you can't be in the middle thinking that, okay, hey, I'm going to pray, but I'm also going to burn sage. You're in the middle. You're on the fence. Either you're going to trust God like it's according to the word with all sincerity and faithfulness and truth and believe that he is, believe that he can do all things, or you're just going to give into that thing that's going to be saved. You can't do both. It doesn't intertwine. It doesn't intermingle. It doesn't. So when Joshua is saying on it, it's really talking about that same principle. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Put away those gods, those old ancient, what do they call them? Old wives' tales, those old ancient things, you know, and I'm gonna superstitions. That's what I'm looking for. Those old superstitions. Well, oh, if you sweep somebody's foot, you're gonna sweep them out of your life. A broom does not dictate the life of an individual. God has the ability to take life, not a broom. If you wash your clothes in the new year, you're gonna wash people out your family. Maytag don't have the power that God has to take life. I'm sorry. I don't know if y'all didn't know it. Maytag or Westinghouse or GE or LG. I don't care if it has the spin cycle. I don't care if it has the steam before it press or the pre-treatment cycle. I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care how much you spent on that washing machine. If you wash your clothes, that does not dictate when people come out your life. All these little superstitions, the superstitions. Eat black eyed peas, you know, you have good luck. My luck is not determined in black eyed peas. I like black eyed peas, but I don't eat them all the time. My luck is not determined in when I eat black eyed peas. My luck is determined, matter of fact, I don't have luck. I have destiny. I have blessings. I have favor. I have the word of God that is true and living. I don't work around luck. I operate in blessings. God blesses me. He chooses to bless me, and I have favor with him. That's what we have, favor. You can't serve that same God. You can't trust God to pay your bills, but yet you want to play the lotto. You can't trust God to make a way out of no way for a financial breakthrough, and you got scratch offs all in your place. 15th verse, and if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods with your father serve that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's telling them, you have to make sure you understand who is this God that you're going to serve. Here's the reality, is that if you're going to serve whatever you're going to serve, then serve that fully. And it's crazy to say that. Now I'm gonna be honest with you. It's crazy to say to someone, if you're going to serve, I'll play this. If you're going to serve the devil, then serve the devil fully. But if you're going to serve God, then serve God fully. With all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all that ways acknowledge him, let him direct your path. And here's the thing, is because when you're in the middle, you don't get nothing done. When you're in the middle, there's no conviction. There's no side of left or right. Now, yes, we want them to serve the true and the living God. But here's the thing about it is that you're just kind of stuck, you know, and even being stuck, then you are not getting anywhere by being stuck. You know, you're not getting anywhere by being in the middle. And many times we find ourselves living our lifestyle on the fence, whereas we know that there is things that we should not be doing. We know that things that God that is not required of us. And I'm going to say this for myself. Here's where my conviction came in when I was growing up and when I was coming into this knowledge, is that I was a ordained deacon at the time. It's a few years back. Ordained deacon at the time, you know, kind of emerging into being a minister. And I had to check my heart and myself because of the fact I had believed and knew that God had a purpose and a plan for my life. And I knew there were certain things that I was not supposed to be doing. I knew it. Okay. However, I was so caught up in the things of my flesh that I was warring within my flesh and my spirit. Whereas I was trying to pursue being a minister, but I was living the life of a heathen. I was trying to get into a position where God could use me to minister the gospel, but yet I was sleeping with the girl that was not my wife at the time. We were as my fiance to speak, but I was having sexual interrelations with her, and I knew that I wasn't supposed to be doing that. And you get caught up and you begin to flesh. Now, yes, I was convicted and was just kind of battling between those two. And in one time I found myself. And I'm just giving my testimony. I found myself right in the middle where, you know, I had church that Sunday, and, you know, and me and her, you know, I was, you know, kind of laying in her bed that Sunday night. And the Spirit of the Lord had spoke to me, and he said, what if I came right now? What if I came? I broke the cloud and I came right now. And at that moment, you know, at that moment, my heart just dropped and I began to cry, and I got up and I went and just, I went on home. And then I tried to, you know, I was convicted by that thing, and I began to pray and ask God to, like, Lord God, I really want to serve you, but I'm stuck. I'm struggling with this. And I knew that I couldn't vacillate between those things because I would have been on the fence. But in order for me to truly walk into the everything that God had for me to do, I had to make that hard decision to make the sacrifice. And I'm gonna be honest with you, it was a hard decision that I really couldn't easily make. I knew that I had to do it, but God had to intervene and he had to touch the heart of that girl to say, okay, hey, you know what? I see where you're going. I see the calling on your life. And I don't think that we're the good mix. Matter of fact, I think I need to step away. We was engaged to get married. So I'm going to step back and I'm going to allow you to find that girl or that lady that's going to be what you need to help you in your process. I'm not that person. I'm going to be a hindrance to you. And here's the crazy part. And she said, I don't want to be persecuted by God for making you stumble. This is what she said. I don't want to be persecuted by God for making you stumble. So I think we need to break this off and you go find someone that's going to be in that place, that's going to allow you to do what you need to do, because I see where you're going. I just know that I'm not the person that's going to be there. She made a hard decision, but I knew that it was from the Lord because I was still vacillating with that. I was still trying to serve. I said, well, I try to maybe I hold off on this, but God saw what he had for me. And he decided to, you know what, I'm going to intervene this. I'm going to touch her heart, let her know what's going on. And boom, it hurt. Yes, it did, because you didn't know. But then when I look back on it all, I thank God, because that taught me from then on to really be committed to this thing, to this gospel that he has. And it's not because I'm committed because I want to be a pastor. I want to be a preacher. I just want to make it into heaven. Excuse me. I just want to make it in. I just want to please him. How many of you want to just please God? How many of you just want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? How many of you just want him to just to be glory, to get the glory out of your life, you know? And that's the commitment. That's the thing that you have to make known, not only for you, but to your family. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What does that entail? We will do the things that are of God. We will honor him. We would follow him. We would trust and live our lifestyles according to the word of God. That's what me and my house, we will serve the Lord and be, meaning that we're not going to let the enemy come in into our house. We're not going to bring things that's in this house that can be used as a stumbling block. You know, there's a certain level or a standard that we're going to set. There's a certain place in our hearts that nobody is there but God. We don't put nobody first but him. We honor him. We listen to his word. We're faithful to what he has said. We trust him, good, bad, and different. We're going to serve the Lord. That's what that's about. Meaning this is that when you are going through situations in your life, when you're going through struggles and you're going through strongholds, it doesn't deter your relationship with him. It strengthens your relationship with him. It pushes you into what he's going to do. It pushes you closer to him. It pushes you to a point where, and I'm saying this from myself, and I'm saying this, you know, just from my experience, it pushes you to a place where when you have gone through so many different things in your life and you don't know what you have dealt with, you know, you don't know how you dealt with it. You know, you may have dealing or how you're going to deal with it, I'm going to say. You may be dealing with depression. You may be dealing with, rejection. You may be dealing with fornication. You may have a drug addiction. You may have been dealing with an abusive relationship. And it seems as though that this faith thing that you're talking about, this faith thing that you're believing on, is that it's not working. You know, you may be, Lord tells you to pray and lay hands on the sick and that they shall recover. And sometimes they don't recover, or God may give you a word that they're going to live and they end up dying. Or, you know, it just seemed like that whatever you say that you're believing on, it doesn't seem like it's making you feel as though it actually is true. That's really what it is. Just like with the team, you know, when the Bucks were losing at one time, and I'll admit it for myself, I'm like, man, I'm not a Buck fan. You know what I'm saying? They're losing too much. But that it's not about that. It's not the many times you lost, but it's being loyal to the very thing, because there's going to be a time when it's going to all make sense. It's all going to turn around for you. And I know you may be struggling. Someone may be out there struggling with their relationship with Christ. They may feel as though God doesn't hear them. They may feel as though, my God, they may feel as though that they're not worthy to come into his presence. They may have this fear that God not, you know, he doesn't love me or whatever it may be. I want you today to understand that he loves you with a love that goes far beyond what you can ever ask or what you can ever think about yourself. He loves you beyond your pain. He loves you beyond your mistakes. He loves you beyond your hangups. He loves you beyond your tricks. He loves you beyond all the things that you have done in your life, good, bad, and different. He loves you even in the times that you didn't even acknowledge him. He loves you even when the time that you turned your back on him and you denounced his very name. When you said yourself that you ain't going to do all this Christian stuff, when you said yourself that I don't want to go to church, I'm not going to serve God, I'm going to go out here and do my thing and do this and do that and get caught up in all this stuff. Even in all that, when his heart was breaking because he saw the path that you were going on, and that wasn't the path that he intended, but yet and still, he was still there with you. He was still there protecting you. He was still there leading and guiding you, keeping things from you, keeping things from happening to you. You know, it could have always been worse than what you had experienced. And I know that you may have experienced some things that may have been pretty bad and pretty tough and shouldn't have never happened. But yet, even and still, God will turn that thing around to be a blessing. That thing that seems to be so treacherous, that thing that seemed to be so embarrassing, that thing that seems to be so just so unthinkable that could ever happen, he will turn that thing around and make it a testimony, not for fame or for fortune, but he'll turn that thing around so that you can see that all glory belongs to him. And even in the midst of all those things and those indifferent circumstances and situations that you face, God was still faithful to you. I know it for myself. There were times when I didn't know which way to turn. There were times when people would walk away from me. There was times when I had to get down on my knees. And even though my knees may have been cut, my knees have been scarred, but I had to trust him. I had to honor him even when I felt like I was not being honored. I had to respect him. I had to give him the glory and be humble and turn and bend and squeeze the everything out of my soul that was not like him, so that he can fill me with this precious holy oil of anointing and grace and love and mercy. I had to go then be broken in so many ways. But I'm grateful because what it did, you can't turn me away from God. My faith is strong. My faith is strong. Our faith is strong. I've been through many different things in this life, and every time that I've gone through a situation or circumstances, God has always been faithful, and he has turned that thing around. And that only is because of the fact I realize that I must, no matter what, I have to get my out of everything else in my life. Out of everything else in our lives, our relationship with God must be on point. And I say that to married couples as well. If your relationship is not strong in God, okay, if your relationship is not intact with God, okay, or your husband's relationship or your wife's relationship is not intact with God, then you're going to have trouble along the way. And I'm going to tell you why. Because your relationship to be unto him, and you ask him and you pray to help you to be what you need to be so that you can be to what you need to be to each person. I'm gonna say that again. See, I didn't do a lot of things right in my life. I was married before, and I'll admit, I didn't do everything right. You know, it was a twofold thing. You know, you take your share of blame as well. I didn't do everything right, but I didn't know how to do everything right. But one thing I begin to learn in life, and even now into what God has blessed me with now with my wife now, is that I've learned this. And I said this one time when God began to show me some things, is that I must be everything that I can be the way that God intended me to be. I'm going to say that again. I must be everything that I can be the way that God has intended me to be. In other words, I have to make sure that I'm truly a true child of God. Meaning that I want him to make sure that he takes out any hatred, any animosity, any pride, anything that's not pleasing to him, okay? I want to make sure I am what I need to be and that pleases him, first of all, first and foremost. I have to please him. If my attitude is messed up, if my My lifestyle is messed up, if my character is messed up, if my demeanor is messed up, if my thoughts are messed up, I have to make sure that the standard that he has for me, just as being his child, I have to make sure I'm on track with that. If I make sure that I'm on track with that, which is a higher standard, then he will allow me, or he will help me to be what I need to be to my wife, which is also his creation, his daughter. Okay? That I may be a blessing to her just as she is a blessing to me, because she is doing the same thing as making sure that she's everything that she needs to be according to Christ's standards, not my standards or me, her standards, but she's everything she needs to be to the standards according to the word of God for him. And he leads and guides us and show us how to be the very thing to each other. We have to put him first. He is the top. Okay. He is the top. And your relationship is under that. And you have to have him in your relationship because he allows you to be able to know how to treat the other individual and how the other individual should be able to treat you. But you have to have a relationship with Christ so that you can be led and guided, because what he will do, he will give you insight on how to love the other individual beyond their hurts, beyond their pains, beyond their hangups, beyond their insecurities, beyond their rejection, and beyond those things, whereas you are a blessing and not a hindrance. That you actually are in the process through his Holy Spirit, that he may use you as a vessel to display his love, that you will be used as a vessel and a conduit for the love to flow through you, that you may love that other person and the other person may learn how to love you. And that you are able to heal the wounds and not pour salt on the wounds by your character being all messed up and your attitude being all messed up. That's what I've learned, is that when I have the relationship with him, then he teaches me how to relate to everybody else, to my wife. He teaches me how to relate to the church. But if my relationship with you individually is jacked up, oh my God, here it is. If my relationship with you is jacked up as a patron of the church, as a sister to the church, as a brother to the church, if my relationship individually with you is messed up, then that must mean that there is a disconnect in my relationship with the Father. Because the same way that the same way that he convicts me to be everything that I am to him is the same level of conviction that I will have to be everything I need to be to honor his people and to serve. Because that's the side that I'm rocking on. I'm rocking on God's side no matter what. Come on, say that. I'm rocking on God's side. I'm on Christ's side no matter what. No matter what may come, no matter what may go, yeah, come on, say it, say it. I'm rocking on God's side. I'm rocking with God. I'm rocking with my faith. It's that faith over fear. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I'm going to choose to trust him. I choose, me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Me and this house right here, these people right here, we're serving God. We're serving the Lord. We're not going to get all into all these other different things, but we're going to be holy. We're going to be righteous, and we're going to stand. We're going to be the people that give. We're going to be the people that honor God. We're going to be the people. We're going to be that people that no matter how many times you come and you try to criticize me and talk about me or say whatever you need to say about me, I'm still going to love on you. I'm still going to pray for you. I'm still going to pray that God touches your heart and fix whatever situation that you're going through. I'm still going to be there for you. I'm still going to be committed to knowing and looking at the God inside of you. I'm still going to be looking at that God and that gifting inside of you. No matter if you spit on me, no matter if you talk about me, I'm still going to be seeing that God still loves you, and do whatever I can to make sure that you know that God still loves you before I leave this earth. I'm still going to lift you up. I'm still going to encourage you. I'm still going to make sure that God, that I put your name before the Lord. I'm still going to to just kind of pray and intercede for on your behalf. I'm still going to give you my last. I'm still going to give you the shirt off my back, whatever I can do. I'm still going to be that what I need to be, because at the end of it all, not only am I doing it for to help you, but I'm doing it to please my Father. That's who I'm rocking with. That's who holds my destiny. That's who holds my heart. That's who holds the very essence of, and it comes by way of all the things that he's done for me. So I owe him. I owe him my life. I owe him my all. I don't just owe God a praise. I owe him my life. We owe him our life. We are committed and connected to him. We are bound knitly with him in his love. It says that who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. Nothing. Nothing can pluck us out of, no matter how hard Satan tries, okay? And I'm going to say this, and I think I said it kind of a little bit this in the Bible study. No matter how hard Satan tries, he cannot separate you from the love of God. Now, here's what he does, and I want you to be careful with this. Here's what he does. He tries to trick you to think that you don't have the love of God, meaning that God is against you. He tries to trick you and tries to forfeit you and tries to forfeit the love that he has for you. It's kind of like those people, you know, and we all had them, if y'all remember in high school, and I'm probably going to close real soon. But you know how, you know, when you're in high school and you have those little cliques and all this stuff, and you may be best friends with a person, right? And because your relationship with that person, you know, somebody else is jealous of it. So they try to, you know, cause a little bit of, you know, they be messy. And that's what they call it, y'all. They're messy. They'll try to say something that ain't even true or take something and twist it a whole different way. Oh, girl, you know, she was talking about you in gym class today. She was saying that your hair is all knotted and everything like that. And this is a person that you have been friends with all along. Y'all are like sisters, right? And because you gave ear to that thing, you start thinking in your heart, you're like, well, man, maybe did she say that? What did I do to her? And you never go to that person, but you kind of lean on whatever this other person is saying, thinking that that person is sincere. And then what happens is all of a sudden now there's a wedge between you and your best friend, and it's all because of stuff that was just false, vain imaginations. Just like the same thing that the person does to the other person. They say, oh, you know, she said something to you, you know, she said something to you, you know, on the bus, she said that she was blah, blah, blah. And that person, that middle person, that little demon in the middle goes back and forth, just causing division, causing mess everywhere, chaos and drama and everything, all kinds of stuff. I've seen it. They go back and forth and split up two people that were just like awesome friends that loved each other. And when that person is now being exposed and that person is now being removed, right? And these two people happen to have a conversation and say, hey, you know, I don't know what happened between us, or when something devastating happens and it causes them to kind of talk about the situation, and they find out that person that was in the middle that's no longer there, that's been exposed, that has gone on and, you know, did their dirt with somewhere else, then they now able to remend that relationship back like it was. And you know, say, girl, I'm sorry, this blah, 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 what I said and blah, 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 and cause all these different things. And they bend back together. That's what the enemy does. He tries to split something up. And you'll find the enemy will do that even in marriages, is that the enemy will come and it will cause the enemy that will come. And we got to be careful. That's why we got to know who you're rocking with. The enemy will come and say to, let's say, for example, you and your husband, and I'm using this because majority of us are ladies, or majority of people in our congregation ladies, but nevertheless, I'm using this example. Let's say, for example, and I may be speaking on something. I don't know why God is going this way, but it may be for somebody. Let's say, for example, you and your husband, y'all are married. Y'all are committed to each other. Y'all love each other. You don't want nobody else but him. He really technically don't want nobody else but you, okay? But y'all get into an argument, y'all get into a disagreement, then all of a sudden, there's a little bit of division between you all. There's a little bit of oddity. There's a little bit of uncertainty. There's a little bit of just things. It's a wall that's been built up. Here comes the devil. We'll send somebody, you know, in the right way, either be pretty or be handsome or whatever it is, and they'll begin to start giving or saying things that really are not true. Oh, I know that you take care of your family, but who take care of you? I see you out here working two and three jobs trying to provide for somebody that is not even, you know, appreciative of who you are. See, if you were with me, I'll be so appreciative of you. And many of y'all have heard that some when you're here. That's why y'all probably giggling and laughing right now. But you probably heard those words from somebody that was trying to come in between the midst of what you already had and tried to cause division. And then it gets you to a place where now your heart is turned to the other person. There's no reconciliation because you now got into this vain imagination state where that person has spoken into your spirit, spoken into your ear, and have told you the things against the other person. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The devil was speaking to Eve and just telling us different things that was untrue about the relationship that they had between God, trying to split them up, trying to split them from the relationship that they had with the Father. So didn't he not tell you? Oh, did he really tell you not to eat of you? Why did he tell you that? He's trying to withhold something from you. You know, did you know that she was a God girl? You got it. Go ahead and eat of that tree. Does it not bring something to you? Do you know why would he tell you to, you know, back up from it? And you never understand the reason why God had his restrictions on it because of the fact that he tells you that, okay, hey, you don't know of this. I want you to just follow my instructions. But because the enemy comes in and try to cause division, that's what happened. Same thing that happens with a relationship. Same thing that happened between you and God. And here's what you have to do. You have to make sure you know who you're rocking with. You have to know that the God that you serve does not waver in his love for you. He doesn't. He doesn't waver back and forth. He doesn't love you sometime. He's not a sometime loving type of God. Y'all better get that in your spirit right now. My God is not a sometime loving type of God, meaning that he'll love me on Tuesdays but hate me on Wednesdays. No, that's not who God is. Because if it was, he would have knocked me out a long time ago. My God is a God that loves me unconditionally. He is a father that is like no other father that I have, even outside of my earthly father that he blessed me with. And my father exemplified blood father exemplified the love that my heavenly father exemplified. Love unconditionally. He's not a sometime God, meaning that you can, here's the truth of it all. He's not a God that he can lie. He's not a God that is trying to trick you. And this, this is something that I think many people is hitting on their spirit. He's not a God that is setting himself up to setting you. He's not a God that will set you up to fall. Listen to me clearly. The Lord that we serve, he's not a God to set you up to fall. He's not trying to trick you. He's not trying to use you. He's not trying to exasperate you. He's not trying to drain you. He's not trying to suck you dry. He's not trying to make you shame. He's not trying to chastise you far beyond what you need chastisement on. He's not trying to punish you like you think he's trying to punish you. He's not that type of God. And the relationship that you should have with him, you should know all these things already because he's a loving God. He's a faithful God. And as we go through our experiences and we go through our trials and our situations, when we're going on this ship and the winds are blowing and we're moving in a fast accelerated speed, getting to the destination that we have, and the sea looks calm and beautiful, he is still there. And even when the ship is about to go through a thunderstorm and the winds are going left and right and the waves are tilting that boat up and down and side by side, he is still there. We don't jump ship or abandon the ship. We stay in the relationship of God through hell and high water. Because what he's doing, even in that process, and I want you to get this and get this down in your spirit, that even when you go through adversity, when you go through circumstances where it seemed like God has left you, he is still with you. But what he's doing, he's teaching you and he's strengthening you and he's showing you how to be strong even in the face of adversity. That if you can depend on him, even when you can't see him, then your faith is being built. He's starting to exercise that muscle. And that way you have this crazy faith that you can just look at a situation and circumstances because it's going to come back around again. It's going to come back around again when the bill is going to be due. It's going to come back around again when you may have to lose a job. It's going to come back around again when you may not be in the proper position where you have to stretch yourself and be in a different type of comfort zone. But you know that your faith is strong and you know that God is for you and whoever's for you cannot be against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? If God is on your side, then who can destroy you? That's because of the faith. I rock with the Holy One. I rock with the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He died for my soul that I may be saved. And for that, I owe him my life. So I'm team Jesus all the way. I choose to go faith over fear. To be feared that I will be rejected or to be ashamed, the devil is a lie. I have faith that every good thing that the word of God has over my life is going to come to pass quick, fast, and hurry. And I got faith for you that whatever good thing that God has in store for you, it shall surely come to pass. All you got to do is just lift up your hands, praise God right now, right in your circumstance, right in your situation, right where you are, right in that place where don't feel like it, don't look like it, don't feel good, don't look good. Give him honor, give him glory, and give him praise, because God is still in the blessing business. He has a path for you that cannot be denied, cannot be destroyed, because he's committed to you. And why don't you be committed for him? Committed to him. Committed to him. In Revelations, it talks about that even if you be lukewarm, if you're just in the middle, God wants us to have a passion for him. He wants you to tell the world that you are for him. That's what it's all about. I want people to know that, yes, I'm a child of God. No. Me and my house, we serve the most living and high God. I serve the supreme God. You can serve Buddha. You can serve Hare Krishna, whoever you want to serve. But my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. And the crazy part is I joined into it because it's according to the power that's working with inside of me. He will use me to do great things for his glory. So I'm hot for him. I'm not in the middle. I don't want God to spew me out. I want God to bless me. I want God to be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in. Come on in here. I'm going to use you. I want God to be able to trust me with this next level of my life where he's going to expand our tent pegs and expand the territory and trust me with the souls that have been broken, that have been bruised, that have been hurt, that have been tricked, that have been messed up, been misguided. I want to be the one that restore him by the glory and the word of God. God, use me to restore your people. That's what my goal is. Use me to restore your people. Lift them up. Let them know that they love you. That you love them. Let them know that you're for them. And if you can trust me with that, then I'll serve you. Because my desire is to let people know who you are. I don't need no fame. I don't need no glory. I don't need to be on TBN or CTN or whatever it is. That may come. God bless it. Praise the Lord. I don't have to have 1,000,000,000 people saying my name or even knowing my name. I want them to know you. I don't want them to know Apostle Douglas or Bobby. They don't need to know me. They need to see you inside of me. They need to see the essence of you. That's the relationship. I want my relationship with God to be so entwined. You know how there's old couples that, you know, sometimes I like to watch. And it's like, and I think me and my wife was watching this movie last night. It was a Tyler Perry movie, and it was about Madea's wedding, a family reunion, whatever it was. And one of the major things was Cicely Tyson. God bless her. She's gone on to be with the Lord. A mighty woman, did a lot of things for the Black community as far as just her presence in the theatrical, you know, places. Her and Maya Angelou, great, phenomenal women. Of African-American descent, African-American women that really, if you gauge your life by their demeanor and the things they stood for, if you really gauge your life or, you know, kind of really just look at them and watch them and use them as role models, I guarantee you, you're going to achieve great things. But in the role that they were playing, she was, you know, kind of describing her relationship that she had with her husband, where it was like, as soon as, you know, I would say something, he would be saying the very thing I'm trying to say. He would finish my sentence. They would be in sync with each other. That's how I want to be. I want my life to be in sync with the move of God, meaning that all God got to do is just think it, and it's already in my spirit. All he got to do is breathe it, and it's already there. And here's another thing, is that I want to know that when I go, that everything is already prepared for me. Yes. See, that's another level of the relationship with Christ, is that when you walk into a certain situation, because you know that you're entwined, that you abide in him and he abides in you, then when you go into situations, then your faith is stronger because you're pulling on the heaven. You're connected to the spiritual realm. Whatever bound in earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever loose in earth is bound in heaven, vice versa. You know what I'm talking about. But whatever the things that happens in the spirit realm is the things you call down on this earthly realm. So when there's healing that needs to take place, I want to be so connected with God that it says heal right now in the name of Jesus. And even as I spoke that, I believe that somebody got healed. That's how I want to be. I want to be so connected that the voice of God speaks through me, that you don't even hear my voice, but you hear the voice of the Lord speaking through me. Not my will, my demeanor, not whatever. I want him to just kind of flow through me like never before, to take my face. I decrease and he increase. I want to be connected that way. That's the relationship. So that's who I'm rocking with. That's who I'm rocking with. I hope that you've got something out of this. I have been blessed. I know that I talked about the Super Bowl because I'm excited about what God is about to do. I know that we are in a season right now where God is really, really, really gathering his souls back to us, back to his people, back to the church. And it's time now for us to really get into a position where we plant our feet into the Word of God, plant our feet into who we're going to serve. Because there's souls out there that needs to know a true and a living God. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I pray today that you find him. I pray today that you know him. I pray today that he comes to be your Savior. And if you don't know the words of prayer, you can feel free to just follow after me. Just say, Father, I'm a sinner. Today, I make you my Lord. Today, I make you my Savior. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Okay, I know that you are the Son of the living God that take away the sin of this world. And I ask that right now that you begin to forgive me of my sins. This day I go back and I command every blessing, every curse that have been put over my life and over my family's life to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you are the Son of the living God. And today I'm healed, I'm saved, and I'm delivered. And if you said that prayer, praise God, you are now in the body of Christ. He has now accepted you as the beloved. And it says that all of heaven rejoice at the sound of one who comes to know Christ as their personal Savior. And right now, I want you to connect yourself to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If you don't have a church home in your local area, you're welcome to connect with us. We're not trying to steal any type of church members, but we are here as a force in this world to be able to show and to share the love of Jesus Christ. And we thank you. You can easily go to rtrmi.org. You can join and partner with us. There's some great things that we're about to do. But also, we also need your support. So we ask that if you can donate or give to us for this great work of the ministry, you can easily go to rtrmi.org and type in click on our give button, our give page. And there's many ways that you can sow into this ministry. Or if you look at this podcast, there's a PayPal link that you can go to right there and just donate whatever's on your heart. I believe that when you sow into this vision, when you sow into and sow a seed, that seed, it will may leave your hand, but it will never leave your life. It actually goes before you. It starts making way and making things for your family, for generation to generation, just from the seed that you sow into this ministry. So yes, we do need your cooperation. We want you to partner up with us for this great move. I believe that God is going to do something awesome and something great, not only in our lives, but is also in your lives. But let's also join together so we can be great for the lives of this world. God bless you. Again, hit rtrmi.org. Be free to join and donate us in the donate if you can, so that this ministry of God's glory, if you enjoyed this podcast, of course, please sow a seed so that we can continue to spread this word around the nation and around the globe. This is Pastor B, and I'm signing out. God bless you. Good day.